you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Outdoor Cooking Show, a weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. This edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop, located at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Well, how do you do? How can it be November already? October just kind of slipped right past us, didn't it? You blink a couple of times and football season is half over, just like that. Oh, well, we hope you had a happy Halloween, and a safe Halloween more than anything else. And remember, as a wise man once said, in the interest of fighting the childhood obesity epidemic, be sure you eat all the leftover Halloween candy yourself. Or, as we like to call it around my house, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Sorry, I actually stole that from Maxine, the cartoon lady. Couldn't help myself. Just too good to pass up. And speaking of passing up, with the passing of Halloween, we now fearlessly embark upon another great national holiday. And no, I don't mean Thanksgiving. I'm talking about the opening weekend of rifle deer hunting season in Texas, which many of my friends think should be a national holiday. But we'll get to all the Bambi and 30-point buck jokes in a few minutes. Oh, and who knows? We might even come up with a few lame excuses you can use to call in sick at work tomorrow morning, just so you can stay in deer camp one extra day. First of all, let's take care of some loose ends from last week's show, shall we? I ran across this message from a listener. By the way, you can always send us a message through our Facebook page. It's The Outdoor Cooking Show. Yeah, we try to keep it simple around here. And we do love to hear from you. But anyway, here's the message from last week's show. Randy, great show on concept restaurants. But you said you had a great George Strait story, but you didn't have time to tell it. Could you tell it to us in this week's show? Well, sure. I've been blessed to meet and get to know a number of big-name stars throughout my radio career, specifically during my years on the Hudson and Harrigan show, but they haven't all been country music stars, like George Strait. I have interviewed people like Bob Hope, Alan Alda, Elton John, Ray Charles, lots of big names, but none of them, and I do mean none of them, have been any more genuine and down-to-earth than was George Strait. Fred Olson and I first met George in 1981. It was right after he had released his first single, Unwound. It was at a blood drive we were hosting in a store out on the west side of town, and MCA Records had sent George out to meet the public, try to promote the record. George even brought his wife, Norma, with him. But nobody knew who he was. People would walk in and they'd go, Hudson and Harrigan, we listen to you every day. And we'd try to introduce them to George. Yeah, meet this new artist on MCA Records, George Strait. But they didn't know who he was. They were more interested in meeting us. To be honest, we signed more autographs that day than George Strait did. Can you imagine the riot that would cause today? You'd have to call out the National Guard. So when the crowd started to slow down a bit, I sat and talked to George for a few minutes, and I asked him, so I guess you're pretty excited about your record contract, huh? And he said, yeah, but I think I'll keep my day job until we see how it works out. Fast forward now, about 20 years, and George and I are standing next to each other backstage at the old Compaq Center up on the Southwest Freeway. It's now the Lakewood Church. Fred and I are about to introduce him on stage. So I turn to George and I say, George, do you remember the first time we met at that blood drive? And he smiled and said, yes, he did remember it. So I ask him, do you remember the conversation we had about your record contract? And you told me you were going to keep your day job until you saw how it worked out. And he said, yeah, kinda. So I looked out at the packed house, about 15, 20,000 people chanting George's name. And I turned to him and I go, "Well, George, I think it's safe to quit your day job now." He graciously laughed because he was, and I'm sure still is, a very nice guy. And his mama had raised him to show good manners, even in the face of a bad joke. So thanks for asking the question, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to plug the book again. You know, there's lots of good stories in the book. It's called Houston's Morning Show, The True Story of Hudson and Harrigan. You can get it on Amazon.com, and it's available in Kindle, and an audiobook. I did an audiobook, too. And just for the record and for the lawyers, I lay absolutely no claim to the name Hudson and Harrigan anymore. But let's get back to this national holiday we call opening weekend of rifle deer hunting season. Every year, I'm reminded of a story that a listener called into our radio show one Monday morning, early in deer hunting season one year. Apparently, a hunter had been at his deer camp since Friday. He'd had no luck whatsoever. He had not only failed to bag a deer, he hadn't even so much as seen one all weekend long. So he's packing up to leave and go back home, and as he's loading up his gear, he noticed a mannequin in the bed of his pickup. Well, his wife's job was to decorate show windows in downtown department stores, and she had inadvertently left one of the mannequins in the back of the truck. So the hunter remembered he had a deer head mask left over from Halloween. It was on the front seat of his pickup truck. So he strapped the mannequin to the hood of his truck, like you would strap a deer to the hood of your truck, pulled the deer mask over his head, and started driving back home down I-45. Now, motorists are howling with laughter and taking pictures as they pass him on the freeway, and he started causing something of a traffic jam. So a DPS trooper pulled him over and said, "That's hilarious. I'm not going to give you a ticket, but you got to stop. You're going to cause an accident." A couple of listeners called in and said that they had heard that story too, but one guy claimed that it was just a joke and that it had never really happened. I have no idea whether it's true or not, but it's a great story. And it's the perfect tall tale to tell on opening weekend of rifle deer season. Now, I fully realize that not all of you are hunters. Heck, I'm not a hunter. I've always felt that hunting would be much more fair if we gave guns to the deer, too. But some people fail to see the humor in that. And I know some of you even find hunting to be barbaric. One lady said to me, "I have a big problem with eating Bambi." And I can respect that. But, you know, if you're eating seafood, you apparently have no problem with eating Nemo, as opposed to finding him. So even though I'm not a hunter, I kind of don't see the difference. One haughty vegetarian asked a hunter what he felt like when he shot a defenseless little deer, and the hunter responded, "Recoil." Besides, I saw a statistic the other day that said 130 people are killed every year hunting deer, so I guess all's fair in love and deer hunting season. Oh, and that same study showed that mosquitoes kill over 1 million people a year, so maybe we should start mosquito hunting season. And let me go on record as saying right here and now that I don't think there should be any limit whatsoever on how many mosquitoes you can bag during mosquito hunting season. But to be a little more serious, and you know me, I can only be so serious, the Outdoor Cooking Show is going to focus on deer hunting today. My old radio buddy Fred Olson said he shot his first turkey the other day, but it scared the snot out of everybody in the frozen food section at Kroger, so he won't be out on bail soon enough to be on the show today. As a result, we're going to be talking to some guides and outfitters who really know their stuff, and that would not be me. These people live to hunt, and in some cases, I suppose they hunt to live, too. To them, the perfect blind date would be in a deer blind. My late father-in-law spent all summer building the perfect deer blind on his land, and on opening day of deer season, he rose early, grabbed all his gear, and headed out. And he tried to climb the tree with all of that stuff on his back, threw his back out, rehabbed his back for 2 weeks, never did get to use that deer blind. So, give a man a deer, and he'll feed his family for a year. Teach a man to hunt, and he'll sit in a tree playing on his iPhone all day. Let's talk deer hunting today, shall we?
If your barbecue has gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike. Headed home from the field with an ice cooler full of wild game? Drop it off at Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility and see how they've taken wild game processing and made it a front door experience. Belleville Meat Market hasn't changed the quality of their products or services for 35 years, so they're not changing because they're growing because they haven't changed. Take your wild game to Belleville Meat Market's new wild game processing plant and take the worry out of processing it into any high-quality cut of meat you want. And if you can't make it to Belleville Meat Market, be sure you check out their newly redesigned website and online store, BellevilleMeatMarket.com, offering a wide variety of their most popular pecan smoked products. But if you've got wild game, Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility will handle everything for you, and it's right next door to their landmark location. Belleville Meat Market and Wild Game Processing Center, conveniently located just 14 miles north of I-10 and 14 miles south of Highway 290 on Highway 36 in Belleville.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls. But not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to TexasCellPhoneBoosters.com.
Hey, backyard chefs! Texas Star Grill Shop is celebrating the grand opening of its second location at 8905 Louetta in Spring, with below retail pricing on everything in the store. Texas Star Grill Shop features one of the largest displays of grills in the state of Texas. Wood pellet grills, ceramic grills, gas grills, pizza ovens, outdoor kitchen equipment, grilling accessories, cooking wood, and lump charcoal. Texas Star Grill Shop is not one of those expensive grill stores, so their pricing is always below retail, and free assembly and delivery in the Houston area is always included. Choose from brand names such as Napoleon, Traeger, Pitts & Spitz, Kamado Joe, Weber, and many more right there in Texas Grill Shop's 4,800-square-foot showroom. And if you mention my name, Randy, you'll get an additional 10% off their already low prices. It's the grand opening of Texas Star Grill Shop's new store at 8905 Louetta in Spring. Visit their original location at 2045 Southwest Freeway or their website, TexasStarFoods.com.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Creek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the Grill Father, Randy Haynes.
I'm proud to welcome back an expert hunting and fishing guide and outfitter, and much more importantly, a good friend of many years, Captain Wayne Vinton. Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
Hey, Randy, what's going on?
Wayne and I got to know each other very well over the years. He hosted the Outdoor Show on a former radio station where I worked. He was on the air from 4 to 5 a.m. in the morning. My old show began at 5 a.m., so we saw each other virtually every day. I feel like we're old buddies. Plus, when you get up in the middle of the night to be on the radio hours before the sun comes up, you become kindred spirits of a sort, right, Wayne?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Randy.
So tell everybody what you're doing these days, Wayne.
Well, I had major surgery back in June, so that kind of slowed me down a little. And I'm kind of back in the groove, so to speak, just kind of restricted on what I do. I'm up here at the lake now, back at Lake Somerville, and kind of retired from guiding altogether. And I still enjoy going out crappie fishing and catfishing up here at the lake, but mainly just kind of loafing around, taking it easy, visiting with old high school buddies. So this is my hometown. So there's always something to do up here in the country.
Based on our earlier texts back and forth and your Facebook page, I know you're in the field right now. You're at Lake Somerville, you say?
Uh-huh.
Are you hunting or fishing or both?
Right now, just mainly fishing. You know, deer season is coming up, and we lost our lease out there. They sold it to our lease right on top of the season here.
So
I'm kind of laid back. I'll probably take it easy the first week or two. I've got a couple of invites, luckily. And so that's basically what I'm doing, Randy. I'm just kind of loafing around.
So this being the first full weekend of rifle season for deer hunters, bow hunters have been going on for more than a month now. Do you bow hunt, Wayne?
No, I never did, Randy. I've had a bad shoulder and elbow for many a year, so I never did. That's one aspect of the sport I never got into.
So how is bow hunting different from rifle hunting?
Well, for one thing, you have to be fairly close to them, not like taking a 200-yard shot with a rifle. You have to be about 40 yards or less to make a good, clean shot on them.
So you kind of have to track them, don't you?
That's it, and practice.
Uh-huh.
I've got a lot of friends, though, that once they got into it, they put their rifle down, and you know, you're allowed to bow on even during rifle season. So they stick with it and just use their bow.
And I'm sure there are a lot more rifle hunters than bow hunters. Does that create some traffic jams on hunting leases?
Oh, not really. You know, it all depends, you know. And, of course, age has a factor to do with it, too. Of course, there's some of the older gentlemen that still bow hunting, but muscle coordination has a lot to do with it, too, Randy. So old guys like me, we just stick with our firearms and hope for the best.
I'm not a hunter. I've told this story before. My dad was a hunter as a kid, but that was back during the Great Depression. Hunting was not sporting, it was shopping.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Dad could bag something out in the woods on the farm, that was oftentimes the only meat they had to eat. So when he came home from World War II and went to work in a bank, he decided he didn't want to go hunting anymore. And as a result, he never really taught me the finer points of hunting. So use me as your first-time student and tell us, how do you get started as a hunter?
Well, you know, like I said, it's a lot of times it's hereditary, you know, the way you were brought up, what part of the state you were brought up in. Like me, growing up here in Somerville, as you said, your dad was a hunter, my dad was a hunter also. And so basically that's the way that I was brought up and taught the use of firearms at a very early age. And, you know, nowadays, even the folks who live in the city, you've got a wonderful hunter education program that I think that every child should go to. In fact, they're required to in some areas of the state. So it's good. A lot of times, a lot of the grown-ups, they go to these same courses with the kids. So the main thing, Randy, is just a love of the outdoors and seeing God's handiwork up close.
What equipment should I buy in the sporting goods store, like camo, good pair of boots? What should I be looking for?
Well, here again, you know, this is something that could be argued for many years as far as the type of firearm to use, or a rifle. And the number one, the most popular caliber for hunting here in Texas is, believe it or not, a lot of folks will disagree with me, but this is based on surveys, is the 270 caliber, which, you know, it will take just about anything that we have to offer here in Texas, whitetails, mule deer, antelope. So that would be my choice, would be a 270 bolt action rifle.
Now, what about camo?
And then some camo clothing. And a pair of real comfortable, and this is important, a real comfortable pair of boots. And a rule of thumb, if you're going to buy a new pair of boots, always buy about a half a size larger. Your feet are going to sweat and expand. And also in the wintertime, you can put on a heavier pair of socks and be more comfortable with them. And that's about it, Randy. You know, of course, a good pair of insulated winter coveralls and a pair of gloves, and you'd be set to go.
Well, now, what about a cooler and a flashlight, a snake repellent? Boy, I'm starting to sound like a city slicker.
Well, a good pair of 10-power binoculars would be almost a must, you know, to scope out the animals. And a good, you know, now they've come out with some great LED flashlights to find your way to and from your blind. And, of course, a good, sharp skinning knife.
Now, I'm guessing, since I don't know anything about hunting at all, I'd assume one of your first pieces of advice would be to hire someone like you who does know what they're doing and learn the ropes from them.
Oh, that, yes, Randy, there are numerous outfitters in the state. And if you're a beginner hunter, this is what I would recommend. A lot of these outfitters offer a three-day package hunt for X amount of dollars, which includes food, lodging, and transportation to and from the stands, and, you know, cleaning and field dressing your game for you. The best thing I can recommend is go on the Internet and do a search and kind of do a little comparison shopping and find out the prices of different outfitters and find something within your price range. And a lot of these areas, and here again, on a guaranteed hunt, you're going to pay a little more. In other words, you're probably looking at a high fence operation where there's a lot of animals in there, and they pretty well know the pattern of these animals. They'll put you on a stand and sit with you and virtually point out which animal to shoot. Of course, a lot of people, to them, that's not hunting, but if you're looking for almost a guarantee, that would be what I'd recommend.
I quoted this statistic in the opening monologue today, but I must admit I was shocked by it. 130 people a year are killed while deer hunting. How does that happen?
Well, it's just, here again, inexperience. You know, one thing, in a lot of states, they recommend the use of blaze orange, which is very easily recognized by anybody sitting up in the stand. But here in Texas, it's not required. And the best advice that I can give is just be very, very sure of what you're shooting at. I know there's still a lot of these novice hunters that are going to get out there, and they're just going to see movement, and they're going to blast in that direction. And this is where a lot of the fatalities happen. And then, of course, other fatalities are people trying to climb into a tree with a loaded gun or out of a tree stand with a loaded gun. And this happens quite a bit every year, Randy, as much as being preached about don't load your gun to get the stand and don't unload it until you get out of the stand. So safety is number one in the field anywhere you go.
This is my good friend, Captain Wayne Venton, who's not only an expert hunting guide, he's also a great fishing guide. Nobody knows the Upper Texas Gulf Coast better than he does. Thanks for your patience with this old first-time hunter, my friend. And I hope you'll come back and visit with us real soon, okay?
Oh, I will. Later on, we might talk about how to cook some of these animals when you take them.
Sounds good, Wayne. Talk to you again soon, pal.
Really good hearing from you, Randy.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. The Outdoor Cooking Show will be back with more smoking hot tips for you and your old flame after this short break.
Nothing beats farm fresh produce. Roadside stands are great, but not always well stocked. But Froberg's Farm on Highway 6 in Alvin always has produce fresh from the field. You can't get produce this fresh in stores. Froberg's has a spacious covered market, or you can pick your own produce if you prefer. It's summer, so Froberg's has vine-ripe tomatoes, huge bell peppers, tender young okra, purple hull peas in and out of the shell, and a whole lot more. Fruits, vegetables, jams, jellies, pickles, and a huge selection of dried beans and peas. And Froberg's Farm is famous for its pies, both traditional homemade or fried pies, with over 20 different flavors. Order in advance, and Froberg's can have as many as you need ready for pickup. And be sure you visit Greek Smokehouse right next door while you're there. Froberg's Farm, only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Froberg's Farm, farm fresh produce since 1936. Hey, backyard chefs! Texas Star Grill Shop is celebrating the grand opening of its second location at 8905 Luetta in Spring, with below retail pricing on everything in the store. Texas Star Grill Shop features one of the largest displays of grills in the state of Texas. Wood pellet grills, ceramic grills, gas grills, pizza ovens, outdoor kitchen equipment, grilling accessories, cooking wood, and lump charcoal. Texas Star Grill Shop is not one of those expensive grill stores, so their pricing is always below retail, and free assembly and delivery in the Houston area is always included. Choose from brand names such as Napoleon, Traeger, Pits & Spitz, Kamado Joe, Weber, and many more right there in Texas Grill Shop's 4,800-square-foot showroom. And if you mention my name, Randy, you'll get an additional 10% off their already low prices. It's the grand opening of Texas Star Grill Shop's new store at 8905 Luetta in Spring. Visit their original location at 2045 Southwest Freeway or their website, TexasStarFoods.com.
If you're in the energy industry and want to drive down costs, it's time to automate. NuStar Energy Services provides automation solutions for pipelines, independent producers, and any company in the exploration and production sector. Still sending someone out in a pickup to read the flow computer on your well? For about $1 a day, NuStar can collect all the data remotely so you can monitor everything on a customized web portal. Heck, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for a truck for $1. How about the levels on your tanks at the well site? For about $1 a day, NuStar can set up remote monitoring so you can see the level in real time and even turn pumps on or off remotely. And remember, NuStar's remote monitoring packages start at about $1 a day. So call NuStar Energy Services today and improve your bottom line. 832-917-1200. That's 832-917-1200 or NuStarInc.com.
Headed home from the field with an ice cooler full of wild game? Drop it off at Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility and see how they've taken wild game processing and made it a front door experience. Belleville Meat Market hasn't changed the quality of their products or services for 35 years, so they're not changing because they're growing because they haven't changed. Take your wild game to Belleville Meat Market's new wild game processing plant and take the worry out of processing it into any high-quality cut of meat you want. And if you can't make it to Belleville Meat Market, be sure you check out their newly redesigned website and online store, BellevilleMeatMarket.com, offering a wide variety of their most popular pecan smoke products. But if you've got wild game, Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility will handle everything for you, and it's right next door to their landmark location. Belleville Meat Market and Wild Game Processing Center, conveniently located just 14 miles north of I-10 and 14 miles south of Highway 290 on Highway 36 in Belleville.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Boyd's One Stop at the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's your host, the daddy-o of the patio, Randy Haynes.
It's time to welcome a kindred spirit in our quest for tasty food cooked outdoors. His name is Ralph Winningham. He's a writer, author, chef, and outdoorsman. Hi, Ralph.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Our executive producer, Greg Berlocker, is an old friend of Ralph's from way back when they both toiled for the Texas Outdoor Writers Association. So, Ralph, start off by telling us a story that will embarrass Greg.
Well, I actually have one. I sell cookbooks and seasoning as part of my deal, and Greg Berlocker is the only one who has ever paid me for a cookbook when his check bounced.
That's great.
He had changed bank accounts and had just got it up, but he's the only one I've ever had pay me for a cookbook or seasoning with a check bounced.
Well, did he ever shoot himself in the foot or step in the campfire, fall in the river, anything like that?
No.
No?
He's a really nice guy to be with. He's a lot of fun, and he leans toward the fishing element more than I do. I do a lot of hunting and shooting and things, but we've had some good times with TOWA, and he's a real solid guy.
Ralph also has his own line of seasonings, a couple of cookbooks. I wanted to give you the opportunity to plug those. What are the titles of your two books, Ralph?
Well, I have two cookbooks out. The first one came out in 2002. It's called The Campfire Chef: Old Boots and Bacon Grease. And then I had the follow-up to that, which is Revenge of Old Boots and Bacon Grease, which came out in 2005 and was the 2006 Texas Outdoor Writers Association Book of the Year. I also have a seasoning that I put together. When I was cooking a lot of wild game and fish and things like that, I would use the same combination of seasonings. Well, I decided when I came out with the first cookbook, well, I'll just put this together, have Bollner Spices here in San Antonio make it up for me, and then I have Chef Ralph Super Seasoning. It's a mixture of salts and peppers, works on everything, no MSG, no cholesterol, nothing like that, just good basic seasonings. Works on meats, fish, popcorn, edge of a margarita glass. It's wonderful.
Popcorn, I haven't heard that before. How can people get your books and your seasoning?
Well, I have a website they can call up. It's RalphWinningham.com, and don't put two N's together. It's Ralph, WinningHam.com, and it'll tell you about the seasoning, tell you about me, and they can get it that way. I normally just do it word of mouth. I don't want to make it too big a business. I do a lot of writing for magazines and newspapers. I do a lot of competitive shooting, so I get around and talk to a lot of people in the outdoors, and I don't want to make this a big business. I just want to have kind of fun with it. People that have bought the books and the seasoning enjoy it, and so it's just kind of a fun thing to do.
Well, I don't want to spend too much time on this because we want to talk about food. This is, after all, the Outdoor Cooking Show, but you mentioned your competitive shooting career, and you're also a shooting instructor. Briefly explain that.
I am a Level 2 National Sporting Clays Association shooting instructor. Level 3 is the highest level. I have been shooting sporting clays since it came into the country in the early 1980s. I'm also a live pigeon shooter, and I was the 1984 world champion live pigeon shooter here in the competition in San Antonio, 168 shooters and shooting live birds. But I've since gone into sporting clays a lot. I'm a masterclass sporting clay shooter. I do quite a bit of shooting instruction with, particularly with youngsters and women, beginning shooters and things like that. I have a lot of fun at that. And if you will listen, I can make you a better shot.
And people can learn more about that on your website, I'm sure. Now, lots of people call you Chef Ralph because you focus on campfire cooking, which is one thing we don't talk about enough here on the Outdoor Cooking Show, cooking over an unprotected flame. Talk about the nuances of campfire cooking for a minute.
Now, a lot of this is just basic Dutch oven cooking and cast iron skillet cooking. The Dutch ovens are just the most fabulous cookware that you can get your hands on. It makes cooking stuff easy. And since you're out in the field a lot of times and you want to get into your game and cook it out that way, that's what you need to do is take some cast iron out there. Cooking over an open flame is not that difficult. Just make sure you have a good control flame. Typically, you'll use coals. And the rule of thumb with cooking with a Dutch oven, which has a lid and everything, it's like a little oven that's all cast iron. Typically, the rule of thumb is you cook with twice as much heat on the top as you do on the bottom, and that makes it an oven-type temperature.
Now, do you know Nick Castleberg of George Ranch or maybe Herman Brune, the guide and outfitter?
I know Herman pretty well. He's quite a character.
Yeah, he insists that the key to deer camp cooking is pre-planned meals that you can then easily reconstruct on site. What are some of your favorites?
Well, the key, I think, is keeping it simple. It's not a complicated process. And so don't go through about 37 steps to make something, because that's not what people like. And so the recipes in my cookbook were all designed to be either cooked at a camp or made at home and taken to a camp. Easy, simple stuff. That's what you need to do. You need to keep it simple. Venison and feral hog and birds and things like that, properly handled, will taste great as long as you keep the steps simple.
Now, we've heard that you make a really mean Laredo stew in a Dutch oven. Give us that recipe.
Well, it's called Laredo V8 Venison Stew, and I created it when I was hunting down in the South Texas area, and there was a lot of sandy soil down there. Up here in San Antonio, where I live now, in order to dig a hole, you need dynamite, but down here you can just use a shovel. And what I decided to do was, this is a good recipe for a Dutch oven, and what it does is it lets you get something ready, cook it in, put it in the ground, and then come back 8 hours later for your evening meal, and it's all done. And all you do is you take two or three strips of bacon, fried up in the bottom of the cast iron skillet. That gives you your grease. And then you take maybe about 3 pounds of cubed venison, the hams or shoulders, either one. You roll that in flour seasoned with my seasoning, Chef Ralph seasoning, or your own combination of salts and peppers and stuff. I like to use a lot of garlic when I'm cooking venison. You chop up a medium onion. You get about a cup and a half of onion. Chop up a couple cloves of garlic. And then you take the venison that's been covered in the seasoned flour, and you brine it on all sides. Then you add the onion. You add the garlic. You add about, three or four big tablespoons full of ketchup. And then another tablespoon or so of green salsa. Then you add about 2 10-ounce bottles of V8 juice.
Wow.
Stir that all together, and then put a little more Chef Ralph's on top of it. Cover the lid. Put it in the hole that you've dug, where you have about twice as much heat on the top of this. So if you have briquettes, charcoal briquettes, they say you put about 10 briquettes on the bottom and about 15 or 20 on the top of the lid, and then you cover the whole thing in sand. Make sure that lid's on tight. You don't want to get sand in your stew.
Right.
And then you walk away and go do your hunting and do whatever you need to do. And about 8 hours later, you come back and you dig this up, careful not to mess up the lid again, and you serve that over cooked rice. And that's just an easy stew.
Now, we've also been told you have some pretty strong opinions about grilling venison because it's so lean that it's hard to grill. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, that's the problem, and particularly with venison from South Texas and in this area. I'm originally from the Missouri-Nebraska area. Up there, you can take a tenderloin of deer and grill it, just like you would a tenderloin of beef. It's fat. They feed on soybeans and corn and stuff like that, so it's good fat, good-tasting meat. Down here, it's all tough. They're living off mesquite beans. They're living off cactus, forbs they can get. And so it doesn't apply itself good to grilling. It gets too tough. Now, what you can do is I take a lot of venison backstrap from down here, and you roll it in a really strong pepper sauce. You lose a lot of black pepper, a lot of my seasoning, a lot of cayenne pepper, and you put it on the grill in a cast iron skillet that's been really hot. A little butter in there, and you sear it, basically. Sear it, like, for 1 minute on each side, and that just kind of blackens it, leaves it medium rare to medium rare on the inside. And once you blacken all the sides, take it off, let it set for a few minutes, and then you slice it real thin, you can eat that way. But otherwise, you just can't grill venison down here because it's just too tough and too lean. It just gets inedible.
That's Ralph Winningham. He's an outdoorsman, an outdoor writer, an author, a competitive shooter, a shooting instructor, a chef, and a general good time Charlie, except, of course, his name just happens to be Ralph. So what's your website, Charlie? I mean, Ralph.
Website, once again, it's just simple, ralphwinningham.com, and it's Ralph, WININGHAM.com. A lot of people try to put two N's in there, don't know why. That'll give you information about my cookbooks, about me, about what's going on. And like I said, I do this for a lot of fun. I get out and I meet a lot of people in the outdoors, talk to them about cooking, and it's a fun cookbook. They've got good stories, and it's just been a lot of fun.
You've got good stories too, Ralph. Hope you'll come back and share some more sometime, okay?
I'd love to. Thank you very much.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be back with more food and fun after this break.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Headed home from the field with an ice cooler full of wild game? Drop it off at Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility and see how they've taken wild game processing and made it a front door experience. Belleville Meat Market hasn't changed the quality of their products or services for 35 years, so they're not changing because they're growing because they haven't changed. Take your wild game to Belleville Meat Market's new wild game processing plant and take the worry out of processing it into any high-quality cut of meat you want. And if you can't make it to Belleville Meat Market, be sure you check out their newly redesigned website and online store, BellevilleMeatMarket.com, offering a wide variety of their most popular pecan smoke products. But if you've got wild game, Belleville Meat Market's new processing facility will handle everything for you, and it's right next door to their landmark location. Belleville Meat Market and Wild Game Processing Center, conveniently located just 14 miles north of I-10 and 14 miles south of Highway 290 on Highway 36 in Belleville. Hey, backyard chefs! Texas Star Grill Shop is celebrating the grand opening of its second location at 8905 Louetta in Spring, with below retail pricing on everything in the store. Texas Star Grill Shop features one of the largest displays of grills in the state of Texas. Wood pellet grills, ceramic grills, gas grills, pizza ovens, outdoor kitchen equipment, grilling accessories, cooking wood, and lump charcoal. Texas Star Grill Shop is not one of those expensive grill stores, so their pricing is always below retail, and free assembly and delivery in the Houston area is always included. Choose from brand names such as Napoleon, Traeger, Pitts & Spitz, Kamado Joe, Weber, and many more right there in Texas Grill Shop's 4,800-square-foot showroom. And if you mention my name, Randy, you'll get an additional 10% off their already low prices. It's the grand opening of Texas Star Grill Shop's new store at 8905 Louetta in Spring. Visit their original location at 2045 Southwest Freeway or their website, TexasStarFoods.com. If you love the taste of homemade sausage, Greek Smokehouse at Froberg's Farm in Alvin is an old-fashioned smokehouse with good old-country service. Greek Smokehouse makes 10 different flavors of homemade sausage and smokes them for hours over burning pecan wood. No artificial smoke flavor at Greek's. You'll know that as soon as you walk in the door. Try the house favorite, jalapeno cheese, deer, and pork sausage, or Greek savory boudin, Italian, or summer sausage. The freezer is full of hand-cut ribeye and strip steaks, stuffed pork chops and chicken breasts, stuffed bell peppers, and even peppers stuffed with boudin. And Greek stock seasoning meats to add to your next batch of greens or beans. Nothing's better together than homemade sausage from Greek Smokehouse and fresh veggies from Froberg's Farm right next door. Only 8 miles south of 288 and 2.5 miles from Business 35 on Highway 6 in Alvin. Open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days a week. Greek Smokehouse. Those boys know how to do it.
May the forks be with you. The Outdoor Cooking Show is brought to you by Froberg's Farm and Greek Smokehouse on Highway 6 in Alvin. Now, here's the man who turns all the grills on, Randy Haynes.
It's always good to visit one of the Upper Texas Gulf Coast's most respected hunting and fishing guides, Captain Mickey Eastman. Welcome back, Mickey.
Well, hello, Randy. How are you, my friend?
Doing well. We understand you've been out working those fish the last couple of days. So where you been drowning your bait?
Well, I've been fishing kind of the upper end of Trinity Bay. There's a lot of bird action going on right now, a lot of small trout, and I've been doing a little weight fishing the last couple of weeks. I've been trying to catch a little bit bigger quality fish for my parties that I'm taking out, but it's all working out. It's gotten a lot better. We went through a you know, pretty tough spell late in the summer, early September, and now the fish are biting and lots of numbers of them. So we're doing all right. Things look good. So
yeah, we're really fortunate in this part of the country. We can fish year round, but you know, without having to cut a hole in the ice and wear a hazmat suit to stay warm. But deer hunting only happens once a year, and this is the first weekend of rifle season. So let's talk about that. Have you been out in the field yet, Mickey?
Yes, we've been. I don't get serious about hunting down there till, you know, around Christmas and New Year's time. That's when the rut starts, and that's when you get your bigger deer, your bigger bucks. If you're a horn hunter and you're looking for a trophy, that's the time of year to spend in South Texas.
Deer hunting is so much more than just tracking and bagging wild game, though. It's a social gathering, a memory maker. What are some of your favorite memories about deer hunting and deer camp? Any funny stories?
Well, yeah, there's a few good stories out there that we've collected over the years. You know, what I like about the deer camp, especially the 2 weeks I spend down there and during my birthday time and all my friends, we all get together and it's, you know, just good companionship. And even if we don't kill anything, we have, you know, we've just created good memories over the year, funny stuff, sitting around the campfire and telling stories and telling jokes and preparing a big meal at night. We'll eat a, you know, just kind of a little quick breakfast in the mornings and get our coffee and going out in the field. And then we'll come back mid-morning and have a little brunch and just sit around and shoot the bull during the daytime, and then later in the evening we'll go back out and hunt again. Then we'll come back and prepare the big meal at night, and everybody pitches in, and it's great times. But yeah, we've had some good stories. We've had some beginners come down, and you know, like older guys that have never deer hunted before, and they go get them a nice rifle and you put them out there. I remember one time my brother and a couple of his buddies, they brought an old mount down there that had been hanging in their old deer camp for years. It was an old dusty, just an old deer mount, but it was a nice rack. It was like a 10-point buck, and they took it out and screwed it in with a screw gun to the side of a mesquite tree on this one end of the blind that this guy was hunting in. They set him up in there, and they said, "Hey, we've been seeing a good 10-pointer around here, and but boy, he's real leery. He won't come out of the brush. He stays in that thick cover, but just keep panning that brush with your binoculars, and if you see him, try to get a neck shot on him or something, you know, if you can get a good body shot." And so, I don't know, it was about an hour into the hunt, and they heard him start going off over there. He was shooting a 30-odd-6, and he bolted one in there, and he shot, and then you heard a delay there for about 20, 30 seconds, and then he shot again. And they knew what was up then. And so he shot 4 times, and he got out of the stand and walked down there. And he knew he got hit hard. They tricked him big time. And he blew that mount to pieces. He said after the 4th shot, he knew something was up when the head was hanging straight down and the neck was sticking straight out and nothing had ever moved. That was a good one we got on old Tony there. That, you know, just stuff like that, pulling a few pranks and everything. And down at Blaine's, they have he has this huge rattlesnake they killed about 15 years ago. And I got in there late one night, and I had my son and my nephew, the one, Sean Stephanie, the one that's a pro golfer on the PGA Tour. And he and Mickey Ray are always pulling stuff on me, so I said, "Dad, you're staying in that back room back there. We already put your luggage and everything in there." So I had my gun over my shoulder, my backpack and everything, and a pair of boots, my snake boots. And I walked through that door, and it's dark. The light was off, and I dropped those boots on the ground and reached over and flipped the light on. And that huge snake was laying there on the floor, coiled up. It was sitting up about to strike me, and I like to went through the wall. And oh, they got me good. I thought I was going to tear the house down trying to get away from that big rattlesnake. Because it does happen down there. You know, snakes will work their way into a deer camp, into the house, you know.
Of course, yeah.
For warmth. But this is about a 6-footer. I mean, it's big around as my arm. It's a huge snake, and Blaine had it mounted. It's a beautiful mount. But I'd never seen it, but it just put it in the lodge there when we were hunting with him. And Mickey Ray and Sean pulled that on me, and I tell you that it's just things like that that go on at the deer camp that you know, everybody's just buddies, and no fights break out or anything. It's just good camaraderie, you know.
Oh, now, the last time you were on the Outdoor Cooking Show, I told you Greg Berlocker was going to chase me down with a shotgun for not getting your fried fish recipe.
Oh.
And we did not have time for it, so I wanted to make sure we got it in, you know, just so I can stop wearing this bulletproof vest to work every day. So give us your fried fish recipe.
Hey, it's real simple, Randy. All I do is, that, you know, I'll fillet my fish out naturally as soon as I get in. You know, I'll throw them on a clean table, you know, and you know, I ice them properly where the meat stays good. So I'll just go ahead and fillet them up real quick, and they're all boneless with the rib cages cut out. And I'm, you know, pertaining to trout, you can do any fish this way, catfish, crappie, redfish, whatever, flounder. But what I'll do is after I have those fish and fillets, when I get home, I get ready to fry them, I'll cut them in you know, just two or three bite morsels, you know, just chunk them up where it makes it easier to fry them like that way. But after I cut all my fish up, wash them down good, I'll take like a fruit jar, you know, a quart jar, and I'll squirt a bunch of French's hot dog mustard in there, and then I'll shake a bunch of Louisiana hot sauce in there. Not Tabasco, use Louisiana hot sauce. There is a difference. It makes a big difference in the quality of the taste, and then I'll dilute it down with water, put the lid on it, shake it up, and blend it real good. Then I'll put all of my fish chunks in a Tupperware dish, and I'll pour that all over them and make sure I coat every piece of fish with it. And it'll stand in there, I don't know, 20, 30 minutes while I'm getting my oil hot and get my cornmeal and fish fry mix, you know, made together. And that's what I do. I use at least 50% cornmeal, and stone ground, if you can find it, it's even better. Then I'll use like a Louisiana fish fry. You know, some, you can get some that are seasoned, but I'd rather season my fish after I get them out to taste, and your grease will last a lot longer. And I'll get my grease to 325 to 350, you know, depending. A lot of people like to fry them at 350 and 375, but your grease burns too fast. I like about 325 to 335. But anyway, I'll shake them up in that cornmeal mix in another Tupperware dish, and then as you know, a lot of people will load a basket up with them and then just drop them down in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they tend to stick sometimes, so what I do is I drop them in individually. I'll put the thicker pieces in first as I'm loading the basket while it's down in the grease, and your grease will start to roll, and then I'll take the thinner pieces towards the tail section and then drop those in last. And as soon as all those fish start to float, you don't want to, I mean, as soon as they start floating, you know, shake your basket up, pull it up, drain the grease off, and then when you dump them, here's the key thing. When you dump them into a beer flat or a Coke flat. You know, the cardboard cartons you get with like a case of Cokes or a case of beer with?
Sure.
Dump them in that. Don't put them on paper towels. It'll make them soggy. Everybody goes, how come your fish is so crisp? That's the reason right there. And once I dump them on that beer flat, then I'll salt them to taste, just some regular table salt. Just salt them down a little bit. And I learned that from Emeril Lagasse. He says, do not ever season your food till you take it out, especially when you fry, and then season it to taste after you take it out of the grease, because you'll ruin your grease that way. It'll burn. And what that Tabasco and that mustard does, if there's any fishy taste at all in that meat, it marinates it enough that it just takes that taste out. And you won't get any hot or spicy type flavor or anything. It just adds an enhanced flavor to the fish meat itself. It's really excellent that way.
That's Captain Mickey Eastman on the Outdoor Cooking Show, one of the premier outdoorsmen on the Upper Texas Gulf Coast. Thanks for talking to us, Mickey, and best of luck this hunting season, okay?
Well, I'm going to be there. I'm taking opening weekend off, and I'm going to the deer lease.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on The Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?